Two books have just been published that excavate the origins of two rock-solid institutions of American life. Land of Desire by William Leach traces the evolution of the department store and how it ushered in our modern-day consumer culture. And John Heidenreich's book, Theirs Was the Kingdom, tells the epic story of the rise of the Reader's Digest. Critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
In the conclusion of Theirs Was the Kingdom, John Heidenreich makes a statement that's so incredible, it could be an entry from the Reader's Digest's Points to Ponder department. Heidenreich says, though the Reader's Digest will continue to be scorned as inconsequential, or worse, by media watchers and scholars, it remains a more potent political and cultural force than any other publication in the world. That's quite a claim, but after reading Theirs Was the Kingdom, you'll never again think of the Reader's Digest simply as fodder for a doctor's waiting room. The Digest began publishing in 1920 with a bunch of recycled articles on self-improvement, sexology, and moral uplift. By 1941, it had the largest magazine circulation in the world. The Digest was an early supporter of birth control and abortion rights, but on most other issues, it was strictly conservative. It whipped up anti-communist sentiment after World War II, it became the voice of the silent majority, and it cooperated with the CIA in planting stories in its foreign editions. While generations of Americans were enjoying informative articles like I Am Joe's Kidney, Heidenreich claims they were also being nudged to the political right. To do the 700 spellbinding pages of Theirs Was the Kingdom justice, a reviewer would have to be like those zealous Digest editors who once shrunk the Bible down by two-thirds in order to publish it as a condensed book. Heidenreich combines social and business history with a juicy biography of the couple who founded the Digest, DeWitt and Lila Acheson Wallace. Wally, as DeWitt was known, was a visionary huckster. He brilliantly peddled an image of America as sunny and mild as the name of the town where his magazine is still headquartered, Pleasantville. If the Digest, as fans claimed, democratized information, then the department store democratized desire, projecting a dream of the good life that everybody could yearn for, if not possess. In his new book, Land of Desire, William Leach ambitiously traces the development of the department store at the turn of the century. He describes how stores like Macy's in New York and Wanamaker's in Philadelphia transform themselves into palaces through the use of plate glass and theatrical lighting. Most early department stores also offered an array of services, child care centers, branch libraries, prehistoric versions of the credit card, and little hospitals to treat those who shopped till they dropped. Leach, however, is immune to the wonders he so vividly describes. He's one of those leftist historians who disapproves of the culture of consumption. Department store barons, Leach claims, colluded with religious, educational, and government institutions to persuade Americans that the key to happiness was buying things. This strain of culture criticism always seems a bit puritanical to me. Intellectually, I sort of agree with Leach about the corrupting influence of consumerism. But emotionally, I bond with the awestruck London tourist who stepped on Wanamaker's new escalator in 1904 and exclaimed, "Oh, happy land! The use of this instrument instantly transports the sufferer to the seventh heaven of delight."
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Theirs Was the Kingdom by John Heidenreich and Land of Desire by William Leach.